Well, let's open our Bibles today as we continue these messages, this series of messages that I've entitled Speak the Word Only. And you can go and get those messages or past messages. But today I've entitled this message Kingdom Lifestyle. And I would like us to begin this message today as we do. And let's go to John chapter 3 and let's read verses 16, 17, and 18 if you would. And let's read that out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'd like us today to just flip over to John 13, and let's read verses 34 and 35 together today. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now today, I'd like us to start. I have some thoughts I want to share along the message that the Lord has given me today. I shared on Wednesday, and I'm going to just cover a few of the thoughts to kind of thread that and hook that in with Wednesday's message. Great gifts require great responsibility. Great gifts will cause great tests. And great gifts require great faith and great faithfulness, you could say. And you can't be faithful without faith. You can't be faithful without faith. And whatever fills your heart will control you. And if you're filled with faith, it will control you. If your heart is filled with natural things, that will control you and steer you. But if your heart is filled with faith and God's word, then that will control you. That will steer you through life. And what I'd like to do is just share when we became born again, we became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things were passed away, or are passed away. All things have become new. So we're brand new. And we've been translated out of darkness, or delivered out of darkness, and translated into a new kingdom. And we're subject to those kingdom principles. And who is the king of this kingdom? What about the rest of you? Who is the king of this kingdom?
Jesus.
What about the rest of you? Who is the king of this kingdom?
Jesus.
Oh, good. I see you're awake. And the king's word rules in this kingdom. And we are the king of kings, and we are to do what? Follow the words of this kingdom and the king. So his word is law. And so as we've come into this kingdom, the interesting thing about being a new man is that not only is our past changed, but we begin to see things and we have an inward change. And I remember years ago when I was working on a corporate job, this is many years ago, I was in software programming and I had a team of programmers. And this young man, a bright young man, he called me after he left that corporation many years after. And he said to me, he called and, you know, we chatted and I really didn't know what he wanted, but he began to get to what he wanted. He said, "I'm like you now." And because he was a jokester, I really didn't know what he meant and I was very hesitant. But finally he said, no. He said, "I'm born again and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost." And I rejoiced. But he said this one thing to me that stuck with me for all my life. He said, "Ed, it was like coming out of a cloud." He said, "I began to see my purpose for being in the earth." And he began to immediately go into the prisons and minister and so forth. And so my point in all of that is that when you get born again, you begin to see your purpose. And God begins to show you your purpose. So when you look at 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now you can see here, isn't this interesting? You have an outward man and you have an inward man. So you have two men here. Two sets of eyes. Different eyes. The outward man's got a set of eyes, and so does the inward man. And you can read on and see. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh." This light affliction is but for a moment, but it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at, see, while you don't want to look at the light affliction. See, this says here, "While we look not at the things which are seen," this is the outward man, "but at the things which are not seen." Who's going to see that? The inward man. See, "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So it's important to realize that God is going to show us things. And how's he going to show it? He's going to reveal it to us in our spirit, in our heart. So it's important to keep your heart tuned to God, full of faith and full of his word and praying. So some folks, and of course I know you're not those folks, so I'm speaking to somebody else. Some folks think that the unseen realm is not as real as the seen realm. But that's not true. The unseen is more real than the seen. Because I believe the Word of God says that which is not seen supports that which is and is made by the unseen. So the unseen is reality. It is the real. And so, as children of God, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We're to walk by the unseen and not by the seen. Is that not correct? So we can see here, faith can see. And folks will say, "Well, I don't see nothing. I just see them pork chops." Oops, I'm sorry. Excuse me. But you understand my point. Faith can see the unseen. And so, when we see by the eye of faith, think about this now, we are seeing the end. We are seeing the end from the beginning. And one of the words that came forth in this set of meetings recently is that the season that RLCC is in is a call it season. Well, what are you calling? Are you calling the end or what you see? Faith calls those things that God reveals. He reveals the end. Just hook up with me now. Don't unhook. I'm going to read these scriptures for you, so you stay, just listen and don't turn. This is Isaiah 46 and verse 10, or verse 9 and 10. It says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me," declaring the end from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. And the Message Bible says in verse 10, "From the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be." See, God, in His providence, He tells us what the ending is going to be like. And it's going to take faith to see that. You see, that's Isaiah 46:10. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." Okay? Now, turn over to Philippians. We're talking about the end of something. Turn over to Philippians. This is a familiar scripture to you. Familiar scripture. Philippians 3, chapter 14. We're talking about the end of a thing. Seeing the end of something. What does Philippians 3:14 say? It says, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He's pressing for the end of the race. And if you read that in the New Living Translation, it says, "I strain to reach the end of the race." See, if you're racing, you got to see the end in sight. You're racing towards that end point. You're not just racing around streets. You know the course. You're familiar with it. And you know where the end is, and you're pressing towards that. How? In faith. And that's the same way we are. God is unfolding and revealing to us an end point. This is not the time to sit back. This is the time to press towards that goal. And God has been revealing to us how we're going to do that. If you were here Friday night, that was a key. That's one way we're going to get there. Now, with planning, just from a natural standpoint, I asked this question Wednesday night. In business, when we plan something, we plan with the end in mind, don't we? We plan with that end point in mind, and then we work towards that. And the same thing in ministry. We start with the end in mind. We do. When we plan all the things that we do, we planned with the end in mind, or see what it is that we want to accomplish, and we work back to the beginning of what it would take to accomplish that. So we sit down, we have an end point in mind, and then we start working a plan. And that should be a God-directed plan to reach that end point. And that's the same. Personally or corporately, God shows you something personally, and you are to reach towards that with that goal in mind. And without faith, it doesn't please Him. See, it's impossible to please Him without faith. So God always starts with the end in mind. And if we keep our focus on where we're going and get our mind off of where we are right now, then the afflictions will be light and momentary. See, God has a goal in mind, and he'll show you the goal, but sometimes he doesn't show you the purpose for it. He just shows you a goal, says, go there. And you're reaching, you go, I don't like this. I don't like this path. But he has a purpose in mind. And sometimes he doesn't show us the purpose. He just shows you the place you're going. And sometimes that path is full of mountains and valleys and so forth. And that's part of the training. You just have to follow. Amen? Because I tell you, the road that I've been on is full of a lot of ups and downs and curves and so forth, and sometimes it's not always pleasant. I may say a lot of times it's not always pleasant. God will say, go over there, and you go, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. That don't feel like it's the Lord. But it says here, if you just keep your mind on the goal in sight, that's what Jesus did. He knew he was going to the cross. And actually, if you think about it, in Acts 9, the Holy Ghost, God showed Paul what he must suffer. He showed him. So before he even started down the road, he showed him. Buddy, you're going to go through some stuff because of my name. But even in 2 Corinthians 12, or you back up in 11, it talks about all the things he endured. But the wonderful thing, why don't you turn over there a minute? The wonderful thing about that, and this is really where the heart of God is today, if you look at this in chapter 12, and you can read for yourself in chapter 11 all of the various things he endured, but down in verse 6 of chapter 12, it says, for though I would desire to glory, see, I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And then you can read on. He said, I inquired of the Lord thrice. But he said, I desire to glory, but I shall not be a fool. See, and one of the things the Lord, and we're going to look at this for a moment. The Lord piqued my attention on Friday to the words that were given through Pastor Judy from the Lord. There were some principles and a process there that God was speaking to. And this is where the heart of God is. And I'm going to read this. You can turn over there to 2 Chronicles, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He said, lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And starting in verse 14, I'm going to read from the King James Version first. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, that's us, shall humble themselves. That's what Paul's saying. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. He humbled himself. And pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." When you read this in the Message translation, it says, "And my people, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked lives." Right there. Humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked ways. I'll be there ready for you. That sounds a little bit like John 14:21, where he says, if those who have my commandments and obey them and do them, he said, "He it is that loveth me, and you'll be loved by my Father and me, and I will manifest, I'll reveal myself to you." See, we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray, seek his presence, turn your back on your wicked lives. I'll be there ready for you. Now listen, this says, I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. Now listen to verse 15. From now on, I'm alert day and night to the prayers offered at this place. He's alert. God has put himself on alert. He's given himself an assignment. Now, turn over for a moment. Let's go to the New Testament. Keep your finger there. Let's go over to the New Testament, to James. And let's take a look at James. And I'll back up to verse 5. This is chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And this is what we're reading, that we are to humble ourselves and pray. And he'll give more grace, his divine favor, his presence to those who humble themselves. He said, and he resists the proud. Then it says, submit. That is humbling yourself. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, is what we're reading. I'm on alert. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, sometimes wickedness is just not walking in faith. That's sin. That which is not of faith is sin. See, we think about other things, but just walking in, and not in faith, walking by sight, is not pleasant to God. Now, let's turn for a moment over to Psalms. Psalm 23 for a second. When you read that in James as you're turning, when it says he giveth grace unto the humble, humble means, it can mean of low degree. And that's in your thinking. And we're going to hook up with that thought. Lowly in spirit or humble? Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In some of the other translations, Good News says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Message says, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. God's Word translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. When you look up the word shepherd, it says to associate with, this is the Hebrew, to associate with, be a friend of. So when we're a friend of God, I have no wants. I don't have a want. But to be a friend of God, see, when we start talking about friends, he said, I'll call you my friend or my disciple. See, when we're a friend of God, then we're his disciples. And when we are, we don't have a want or need of anything. Turn over to Psalm 147. Then I'll have you jump back. Psalm 147. And look at verse 11. Says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. He taketh pleasure in those that fear him. And when you look up that word fear, it means essentially to honor him, to give him respect. Those that honor him, those that respect him, you could say those that humble themselves before him. Says he takes pleasure in that. Psalm 25. Let's go back to Psalm 25. And look at verse 14. See, we're looking for, sometimes we're looking for the secrets of the Lord. And he's given us the formulas right in the book. We want to know, Lord, tell me, your secrets. And we wring our hands and cry and pray all night. And here's a formula right here. What does it say? The secret of the Lord is with them that do what? Fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You've got to humble yourself, honor him, give him respect, and he will show you his covenant. This is the Common English Bible. It says, the Lord counsels. Oh yeah, I like this. The Lord counsels those who honor him. Oh. How many would like the counsel of the Lord? I do. And this says here, he counsels those who honor him. He makes his covenant known to them. Now listen to this. This is called the New International Reader's Version. The Lord shares his plans with those who have respect for him. How many would like to know how to make $1 million? Oh yeah, all the hands go up. Yay! Yeah, me. Okay. Here it is right here. He shares his plans with those who have respect for him, who honor him. And when we say honor, that means give him place, give him time. What do we say? For those, what do we read? We just got done reading it over here. We're supposed to humble ourselves, pray, right? Seek his presence and turn from our wicked ways and our wicked lives. That's honoring him. That's respecting him. And in light of that, what did he say? He said, I'm making myself available and ready for you. I'm listening. That sounds to me like making his counsel available to us, isn't it? And the Lord put this thought in my mind. He said, during this month of consecration, there can be, and you know, the thought came to me, boy, you know, there's so many churches doing consecrations. And he said, yeah, there's an outward consecration, but there's no inward consecration. There's an outward show, but no inward consecration. There's no honor to him. We're going through the motions. We're cutting out the food and we're doing things. But is there really an honor and respect for him? Is there a turning away from things in our lives that are displeasing to God? See, because when there is, he makes his plans available. He reveals. See? And I heard that. He said, yeah, there's an outward consecration, but there's not an inward one. And so, you know, if the shoe fits, wear that and make the adjustment, because I'll tell you, it may pinch for a second, but I like the results. I like his counsel. I like for him to show me the plans for my life. And we all do. This is Psalm 34, verse 9. It says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And the Good News Translation says, honor the Lord, all his people. Those who obey him have all they need. Man, I like that. That's like, man, you don't get, as they say, make it plain. You can't get any plainer than that. When you honor him, when you respect the Lord, this says here, those who obey him have all they need. Now, let's turn over to John chapter 3 and verse 30. John chapter 3 and verse 30. Let's all read that together. What does John 3:30 say? He must increase, but I must decrease. That's part of honor and humbleness. You decrease, he increases. And it doesn't just say should, it says must. You don't have an option. It says must. Now, when you read that must, that word must, I took the time to just look it up in the Hebrew. It says, it is necessary. It is necessary that he increase, and it's necessary that we decrease. Now listen to this. A necessity in reference to what is required to attain some end. It is necessary for him to increase to acquire a certain end. And it is necessary for us to decrease in order to get to a certain end. Amen. Can't get there any other way. If you're increasing, you are not going to have the counsel and plans of the Lord. Amen. You're not humble. You're not honoring Him. And you're increasing. And He's saying He must increase and we must decrease. And those words, when you go to Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We must have that same mind that I must decrease. And when you look up the word decrease, it means in dignity and to decrease in authority or popularity. I'm going to tell you, you'll hear it from me. It don't bother me to sit in the back. It don't bother me to not be mentioned. Never has. I don't seek it, and it's not an interest. So it's okay for me if you never heard me. Only when God spoke. Because I don't need to be heard. He must increase. And we must. It's necessary to decrease. Now that may seem kind of a hard thing, but I can tell you, I heard the Holy Ghost strong this morning. And I believe that God is preparing us because what about is about to be given to us, we could think, hey, look at this. Look at me. We're popular. If you think like that, we have a problem. Because He needs to increase. And we need to do nothing more than what the word of the Lord came from Brother Copeland years ago. He said, don't seek the biggest church. Seek me, Jesus. We must decrease. We must honor and love on Him when we come so that He can manifest. He can increase. Why? Because He desires to manifest Himself in our presence and heal and deliver and lift the curse from the people in this earth. And it will not be done when we're trying to increase. Yeah, it's going to be done through us, but we take no glory. And He is about to do and is doing a phenomenal thing in our midst. And He's about to just do way out beyond what we could ask, think, or imagine. And we need to have a humble heart in our thinking and in our minds. Does that register? And that's the word of the Lord today. That is the word of God to you. Have a humble heart. Let this mind be in you. And when you honor Him and respect Him, He'll counsel with you. He'll show you how to minister to the people that He's going to send. And it's not you. It's Him thinking through you and working through you His grace. Amen. It's strong in me. I'm telling you right now. He cannot work with a people who don't give Him the honor and keep it there. And I believe that we are that people, and I believe that we are a humble people. But God is reminding us that what He's about ready to do See, the devil, he's a deceiver. He's a hitchhiker. And if you pick him up and you let him in the car, he don't want to get out. And you keep him in the car, he'll want to get in the front seat and drive. And then kick you out. See, he's a hitchhiker. And what God is about to do, see, he's going to try to come in and hitchhike and manifest himself. But those that are humble, God will counsel with us and reveal himself to us and show us, that ain't me. Kick it out. Don't give it place. I'm telling you. And you'll know. You'll say, that's not God. That's not God. And you'll know. And you don't have to be huffy. You don't have to be, you know, thus saith the Lord. You don't have to do that. You'll just know. And you'll just say, I'm sorry. Just no thank you. Just sit down. We're not going to entertain that word. And you don't have to, because you're in authority. You're speaking for God. Amen. Praise God. I'm finished. And the word of the Lord is just Friday night. That word, what are we to do? We are to humble ourselves and pray, seek his presence, turn our backs on our wicked lives. And he says, I'll be there ready for you. And he said, I'll listen for heaven, forgive their sins, restore their land to health. From now on, I'm alert day and night, 24/7, day and night, to the prayers offered at this place. See, God has already informed us. And we are to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. I'm finished. I trust you got something. If you're not sure, get the CD and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. Because it's the word of the Lord for today. Or download it, whatever your preference is. Did it register on your heart? See, we don't need to be popular. We need to be humble. We don't need to have first place. We need to give God first place. So we need to decrease, and he needs to increase. Father, I thank you for this word. And I believe that the words spoken penetrate the heart of the listener, here or otherwise. And I believe that it will bring forth fruit of humbleness, prayer, seeking your presence, and changing and turning direction in our lives towards you. And I believe, Father, that the word spoken and the lives changed will put you on notice that this is a people ready for your counsel, ready for your detailed plans. And we open our hearts, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we commit this to our keeping in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.